You're listening to an African Elements top news story for June 24, 2026. Please visit our website at africanelements.org for more daily news. Environmental racism in North Carolina, the untold truth. On June 24, 2026, the progressive community of Carrboro, North Carolina, announced its 13th annual community reading of a landmark speech by Frederick Douglass. The text, originally titled, "What to the Slave is the 4th of July?" is a powerful critique of American democracy. Scheduled for July 4, 2026, at the Carrboro Century Center, the gathering represents a moment of deep collective reflection. This event goes beyond a standard holiday commemoration by examining the local and national history of systemic racism. The keynote speaker for the event is Dr. Ajamu Dillahunt Holloway, an assistant professor of African American history and public history at North Carolina State University. His extensive research focuses heavily on the intersections of labor history, the Black freedom struggle, and environmental justice. By analyzing these connections, the event links 19th-century abolitionist critiques with modern environmental battles. This community reading challenges participants to confront the continuous struggle for freedom in Black and white across the American landscape. Modern local struggles show that Carrboro is actively fighting systemic environmental issues. In December 2024, the town took a historic step by filing a lawsuit against Duke Energy Corporation. The litigation alleged that the utility giant engaged in a prolonged, decades-long, climate deception scheme. This scheme allegedly delayed the regional transition to clean energy, causing millions of dollars in climate mitigation damages for the town. The lawsuit claimed that Duke Energy funded industry front groups to promote climate denial science while greenwashing its corporate image. The legal system, however, delivered a major setback to the town.
On February 12, 2026, North Carolina Special Superior Court Judge Mark Davis dismissed the lawsuit. The court ruled that municipal claims regarding energy and emissions policies are non-justiciable. In legal terminology, a matter is non-justiciable when a court lacks the constitutional authority or institutional capability to resolve it. Under the political question doctrine, courts refuse to decide issues reserved for the legislature or executive branches. Despite this dismissal, Carrboro remains a vocal advocate for systemic climate action. To comprehend the cultural significance of the Carrboro reading, one must look back to July 5, 1852. The Rochester Ladies, Anti-Slavery Society, invited Frederick Douglass to deliver an Independence Day address in Rochester, New York. Douglass deliberately chose to speak on July 5th instead of July 4th.
This scheduling was a calculated act of political protest. He refused to celebrate national independence, while millions of Black individuals remained trapped in a brutal system of physical bondage. The speech highlighted the deep hypocrisy of a nation celebrating liberty while legalizing chattel slavery. Historically, chattel slavery is defined as a system of bondage where human beings are legally classified as personal property. Enslaved individuals were treated as commodities to be bought, sold, and inherited. This racialized institution was lifelong and hereditary, meaning children were born into permanent servitude. The absolute dominion of enslavers over Black bodies created a foundational pool of wealth built on violence. Douglass used his oratorical brilliance to expose these structural contradictions. The ongoing discussions in Carrboro connect deeply to the concept of the Black freedom struggle. Historians use this term to describe a broad, continuous historical framework of African-American resistance.
It extends far beyond the high-profile legislative era of the mid-20th century civil rights movement. While the traditional civil rights narrative is restricted to the 1950s and 1960s, the Black freedom struggle spans centuries. It began with early rebellions against enslavement and progressed through Reconstruction and Jim Crow. This long-duration view illustrates how freedom defines Black political power across generations. Furthermore, the Black freedom struggle encompasses a wide geographic and ideological landscape. It includes Northern labor organizing, economic equity battles, and local self-defense movements. Activists historically fought against structural inequities, including militarism, poverty, and environmental degradation. Environmental advocacy is not a detached, modern project. Rather, it represents a natural continuation of this long struggle for bodily autonomy and safety. Modern minority communities continue to wage these battles, demonstrating that the fight for survival remains unresolved. The explicit connection between civil rights and environmental policy was forged in North Carolina over 40 years ago. In 1978, the Ward Transformer Company deliberately dumped 31,000 gallons of toxic oil along 240 miles of rural state roadways. This illegal dumping was executed under the cover of darkness to avoid waste disposal fees. The soil became heavily contaminated with cancer-causing polychlorinated biphenyls, commonly known as PCBs. The state government eventually decided to store the toxic soil in a new landfill in Afton, a community in Warren County. This landfill site was selected despite the presence of a high water table. A high water table means underground water is exceptionally close to the land surface. Placing chemical waste in such areas is highly dangerous. Any leak in the landfill liner permits toxic chemicals to migrate rapidly into the local groundwater supply. In rural Warren County, most residents relied on shallow private wells for drinking water. This placement created an immediate risk of widespread, life-threatening water contamination. In response to the state's decision, the community launched 6 weeks of massive, nonviolent protests in 1982. The Southern Christian Leadership Conference, or SCLC, played a pivotal role in organizing the opposition. Founded in 1957, the SCLC is a historic civil rights organization closely associated with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Historically, it pioneered direct action to dismantle legal segregation by mobilizing Black Protestant churches. During the Warren County protests, SCLC leaders trained local citizens in passive resistance. SCLC National President Joseph Lowery and other organizers traveled to the county to participate directly in the demonstrations. Activists physically laid down in the streets to block waste-carrying trucks. Over 500 protesters were arrested, drawing intense national media attention. SCLC leaders used their prominent platforms to elevate a local ecological concern into a national civil rights crisis. It was during this historic mobilization that Dr. Benjamin Chavez coined the term environmental racism. The protest did not stop the landfill construction, but it catalyzed an unprecedented national scientific inquiry. The United Church of Christ, or UCC, led this empirical research. Many observers wondered why a Christian denomination was spearheading scientific studies on toxic waste. The UCC's Commission for Racial Justice was deeply committed to systemic justice. After assisting local Warren County organizers, the commission realized that toxic dumping followed a clear national pattern. To move beyond anecdotal claims, the UCC funded and published the landmark 1987 study, Toxic Wastes and Race in the United States. This report utilized rigorous statistical analysis to analyze the proximity of hazardous sites to minority communities. The study empirically proved that race was the single most significant factor in predicting toxic waste placement. It showed that city planners systematically targeted minority neighborhoods, providing civil rights lawyers with the empirical proof needed to challenge discriminatory zoning. The municipal legacy of environmental racism is also evident close to Carrboro. In 1972, the local governments of Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Orange County faced an urgent municipal waste crisis. Over strong local objections, they chose to site the regional landfill directly adjacent to the Rogers Eubanks community. This historically Black neighborhood was comprised of family-owned farms and sawmills dating back to the late 1800s. The authorities promised residents that hosting the landfill would bring paved roads and recreation centers. These promises were systematically broken, and the landfill operated for 40 years. While the site collected trash from affluent, predominantly white college neighborhoods, Rogers Eubanks was denied basic public services. For decades, residents lacked access to municipal sewer and clean water lines, leading to polluted drinking wells. Under the leadership of figures like Braxton Fushi, the community organized the Coalition to End Environmental Racism. They successfully secured the landfill's closure in 2013, proving the power of local labor and community resilience. This fight for economic justice against all odds remains a testament to their strength. Modern disparities are deeply rooted in historic discriminatory policies such as redlining. Originating in the 1930s, redlining was a government-sanctioned housing practice. The homeowners, Loan Corporation created maps where minority neighborhoods were shaded red, marking them as hazardous. Consequently, these neighborhoods were systematically denied investments and mortgages. City planners subsequently zoned these redlined areas for industrial pollution, waste facilities, and highways, leading to systemic underfunding and neglect. Furthermore, Carrboro itself has struggled with its name and history. The community is named after Julian S. Carr, a prominent white supremacist who celebrated the violent overthrow of black political power. Despite its progressive values, Carrboro has not legally changed its name due to legislative and financial hurdles. Under state law, a formal municipal name change requires legislative approval, which local leaders feared would invite hostile state interference. Instead, the town council formally changed its namesake to honor Johnny Carr, a civil rights activist, while installing a truth plaque to expose Julian Carr's legacy. Today, environmental racism in North Carolina is also evident in industrial agricultural practices. Confined animal feeding operations, or CAFOs, are industrial agricultural facilities that confine thousands of animals in highly concentrated indoor cells. These facilities produce massive volumes of untreated animal waste. The waste is typically stored in open-air manure lagoons and sprayed onto crop fields, creating toxic airborne drift. This process releases hazardous pollutants such as ammonia, methane, hydrogen sulfide, and fine particulate matter. The late Dr. Steve Wing, an epidemiologist at UNC Chapel Hill, dedicated his career to documenting these impacts. His studies prove that CAFOs are 18.9 times more common in high-poverty neighborhoods compared to wealthy areas. Furthermore, they are 5 times more common in communities with a high percentage of minority residents. A study in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences linked agricultural air pollution to 17,900 annual U.S. deaths, with minorities bearing a disproportionate health burden.
These findings highlight how environmental hazards are systematically concentrated in vulnerable communities. When community members gather in Carrboro on July 4, 2026, they are not merely reciting historical words. They are tracing a continuous thread of resistance from 1852 to the modern era. The systemic inequalities that Frederick Douglass decried did not disappear with the legal abolition of slavery. Instead, those structures mutated, finding expression in discriminatory municipal policies, toxic waste sites, and unequal environmental protection. The annual community reading serves as a vital call to action, reminding everyone that the struggle for true equity remains an active, ongoing effort. Understanding this history is essential for dismantling modern systemic racism. The community reading of Frederick Douglass's speech provides a framework to challenge current ecological injustices. By linking local municipal battles with the historic black freedom struggle, Carrboro highlights the deep connection between civil rights and environmental policy. This historical lens empowers communities to recognize and fight environmental racism. Ultimately, it ensures that the continuous tracing of the unbreakable history of the black family remains central to the collective pursuit of justice in North Carolina. Copyright, African Elements.